Allah, Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome back to another wonderful episode of the Silsila Early Echo. Wherever you are in the world, we hope that you and your family is safe and sound. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant safety and security and protection to all Muslims around the world, especially those who are suffering due to oppression of the oppressors. Today we are going to be talking about oppression, dhulm, that mercy to the oppressor is oppression to the oppressed. And dhulm can take different forms, different types and shapes as well. Dhulm, oppression, is something that we can even do to ourselves. So stay tuned, inshallah azawajal. In studio, once again, we are honored to have our respected Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Qadir Qadri Mu'ini At-Tari, mashallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How's Mawlana Sahib?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. And how are you, Mawlana Sahib?
Alhamdulillah, shukr.
Shukr, mashallah. Today we are going to be talking about a very serious topic, which is oppression. And we're going to highlight some of the different types of oppressions that are out there and how do we remain safe from it, inshallah, azza wa jal. Let's remember the beautiful hadith, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So let's make some good intentions. Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I am watching, I am listening to the Silsila of Madani channel for your rida, for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Allah, what I learn, I will try to practice and convey to others as well. InshaAllahu Azza wa Jal. There are so many wonderful blessings for the fortunate Muslims who recite Durood-e Pak, salawat, or salutations upon the cause of creation, the cream of creation, the crown of creation, the owner of Jannah, the knower of the unseen, the intercessor of the Ummah, our most merciful master, the last prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned by the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a summary of a hadith that the person who recites Durood-e Pak, salawat, 50 times daily, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that I will shake hands with that person on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. So don't stop reciting Durood-e Pak every day. Make it your habit. Make it your habit to dedicate some time on a daily basis for the recitation of Qur'an-i Pak, Durood-i Pak, Istighfar, Dhikrullah, and seeking knowledge of Deen from authentic sources. InshaAllahu Azza wa Jal. We will take you to listen to a wonderful kalam and we'll be right back. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ay waliye Madina, bulwaiye Madina. Ay waliye Madina, bulwaiye Madina. Ay waliye Madina, bulwaiye Madina. से मेरे दिल में है अरमान روزے پہ بلا لیجئے سلطان مدینہ، روزے پہ بلا لیجئے سلطان مدینہ،
مدینہ 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 مدینہ.
کاش پہنچ کے در جانا نے مدینہ، اے کاش پہنچ کے در جانا نے مدینہ، اے کاش پہنچ کے در جانا نے مدینہ، ہو جاؤں میں سو جان جا سے قربان مدینہ، ہو جاؤں میں سو جان سے قربان مدینہ،
مدینہ 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 مدینہ.
آتے ہیں مقدر کے سکندر تیرے در پر، آتے ہیں مقدر کے سکندر تیرے در پر، آتے ہیں مقدر کے سکندر تیرے در پر، بے اذن ہو کیسے کوئی مہمان مدینہ، بے اذن ہو کیسے کوئی مہمان مدینہ،
مدینہ 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 مدینہ.
قدموں میں بلا لیجئے بدکار کو آقا، قدموں میں بلا لیجئے بدکار کو آقا، قدموں میں بلا لیجئے بدکار کو آقا، اور اس کو بنا لیجئے مہمان مدینہ، اور اس کو بنا لیجئے مہمان مدینہ،
مدینہ 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 مدینہ.
عطار کو دولت نہ حکومت کی طلب ہے، عطار کو دولت نہ حکومت بقی اس کو تو سلطان مدینہ
مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ
مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ
مدینہ
مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ
مدینہ
مدینہ مدینہ
مدینہ
مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ
مدینہ
مدینہ مدینہ مدینہ
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سبحان اللہ عز و جل اللہ جل جلالہ Take us to visit Medina Tayyiba, Zadah Allahu Sharafu wa Ta'azima, time and again. Take us for Hajj and Umrah, time and again. And take us to visit Aqsa Sharif, time and again. Ameen bijahi khatim al-Nabiyyin, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, we are talking about oppression. Sheikh Jurjani, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, mentions that this dhulm, this word, means to misuse and misplace something. And according to Sharia, it is the violation of somebody's rights or to blame an innocent person. This is the definitions, and also to do injustice and cruelty upon others. This is dhulm, this is oppression, which is highly emphasized that we stay away from, and that we as Muslims put a stop to any type of oppression. Sheikh Abdullah Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi says that I was once going to a certain village in Basra. I was traveling with another person. It was afternoon. All of a sudden, a criminal caught us by surprise. He attacked us and he martyred my companion. He stole the money, he stole the belongings, and he tied my hands up and he ran away. Allahu Akbar. I managed to somehow untie my hands and I continued on my journey. I lost my way. It was almost sunset. And I'm thinking, what do I do now? In the distance, I see a fire burning and a tent. So I approach. I don't know who's inside. I from outside say, Al-Atash, Al-Atash, I'm thirsty, I'm thirsty. Unfortunately, that tent belonged to the same criminal.
Allah.
He came out and he saw me. When he saw me, he goes inside and he brings a sword to finish me off. Allahu Akbar. His wife comes out and tries to stop him. But he pushes her one side and he takes me, he drags me into the middle of the jungle. And there he sits on my chest. He sits on my chest, he places his sword on my neck. And as he is about to execute me, a lion jumps out from the jungle roaring. He gets so frightened, he falls down. The lion then jumps upon him, mauls him, tears him to pieces, and goes away. I thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this divine intervention. Oh, those out there who violate the rights of people, who harm people, whether it is physically assaulting them, mentally, psychologically, emotionally abusing them, or those who verbally abuse others, do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know about it? Allah is all-knowing. He knows everything. And He gives some type of respite to the cruel one to change himself. But when He seizes the cruel and oppressor, those oppressors who are doing worse things, who are killing, maiming, murdering, slaughtering innocent people out there, innocent Muslims, children out there, it is mentioned by Sayyidina Shaykh Muhammad bin Ismail Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi in Bukhari Sharif, that Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he quotes the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily Allah Azza wa Jal gives respite sometime to the cruel person until when He Azza wa Jal grabs that person, then He does not release him.
Allah.
After saying this, the beloved master sallallahu alayhi wasallam recited the following verse from Surah Hud, verse 102. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كذلك أخذ ربك إذا أخذ القرى وهي ظالمة إن أخذه أليم شديد. Translation from Kanz al-Iman. And such is the seizing of your Lord when He seizes the towns upon their injustice. Indeed, His seizing is painful, severe. From this one incident, we come to know that a person can be a criminal, an oppressor, and hurt people, harm people, even make fellow Muslims as martyrs as well. But one day is one day. That their time Definitely. Will come sooner or later. The time will come where justice will prevail.
Definitely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He dislikes injustice. And
absolutely.
In His kingdom, the kingdom is His. He is the King of all kings, Ahkamul Hakimin. And the day He seizes, now we are very frightened of seizures, you know. Mm. You will hear in the news or you will hear like somebody's assets because of their wrong dealings in the business and so on and so forth. The assets were seized and so on and so forth. And what a catastrophic event it is in that person's life.
Yes.
His assets are seized. Here is the seizure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not one agency of the government is coming to seize your property. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seize His mercy, will seize His mercy, Allahu Akbar. Can we ever bear to, withstand that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking away His blessings, His mercy from us. And not one leaf moves without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, we are doing things day and night to deserve that. I mean, you'll see people left, right and center gobbling people's properties, people's money. And sometimes it is looked at as something, look at how smart that person is, He had invaded that person's property and, he's living lavishly. But until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seizes that person.
It will come sooner or later.
And then we have, in the same world that we live in today, people are driven by the greed. And they enjoy these kind of things, hurting people, killing people. Those we call sadists is a word for it.
Yes, yes, yes.
And though they do exist, it's not a fairy tale that, it's written in some books. We face them in daily lives. You will hear in news, you will read in newspapers that this person was taking pleasure in killing somebody. For no apparent reason.
Allahu Akbar.
This is injustice and oppression at its height.
We know very well about the crime.
Yes.
That crime is out of control. I'm sure in many other parts of the world as well. But for us, like that almost every day you're hearing about some criminal activity taking place. Maybe a home invasion, some robbery, some theft, carjacking, hijacking, kidnapping. So the criminals who work, they work in syndicates.
Yes.
They're very organized and they work in syndicates. And today we see other things like people stealing organs of patients to sell it at exorbitant amounts. Where somewhere in the world, somebody needs an organ donor. We hear in the news that, certain people's, imagine somebody comes to your house and tells you, this is not your house anymore. This is now my house. Your land is now my land. And they take you out and they demolish your home and they put their own home there. And worse than that, they execute your children, they execute your family members. I mean, that is like the highest forms of oppression, And those kind of people, maybe they have might and power and influence and they are backed by people who also have might and power. But didn't we see this in the past as well? Many have come, many Fir'auns have come, many oppressors have come, oppressing the people and slaughtering the people. Where are they? They are definitely suffering the torments, the punishments of Allah Azza wa Jal. So like that today as well, the oppressors who exist today or in the future, their time will come that the seizure of Allah Azza wa Jal, when He seizes, then, he doesn't let go. And their time will come. They need to realize this. But Shaitan is strong also. Shaitan is there. He's motivating them and promoting them. So we should be careful that we don't fall into oppression ourselves, whatever it is, that we must not become oppressors. Oppressors in our own homes, that outside the house, I can smile, I can be very sociable and nice, and as soon as I enter the house, then the smile disappears, and I'm screaming and shouting and using vulgar words and abusing my family members. How is this? Allah Jalla Jalaluhu knows it. So don't oppress yourselves by committing sins. Don't oppress your family members physically or verbally. And just don't oppress in any way. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His punishment rains down, when His punishment showers on any person or nation or peoples out there who are oppressing others, then it's over. Who can be against Allah Jalla Jalaluhu? And this we need to realize that, you know, sooner or later that punishment is going to come, either in this world or in the hereafter as well.
And sometimes we see the results of it even here.
Jay.
Like, for example, in many instances, that person sees the outcome of his evil deeds, the way he oppressed others.
Jay.
And obviously in the hereafter, they're going to pay for it. You'll be judged according to your own doings.
What goes around comes around.
Yes. So this is the Islamic concept. What goes around comes around.
Mm.
So we should know, if I'm doing this, it's going to come my way.
Mm.
360.
Mm.
So the world is round for a reason.
Mm.
And if maybe we are treating our parents unjustly,
Allah,
we are violating their rights, then our children are seeing everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're seeing everything. And in some cases, children oppress their parents, drive them out of their own homes that belong to them.
Mm.
But the children now, they get the upper hand and they want to ill-treat their own parents. And then the children are looking at everything. They'll one day do the same thing to the father. Because this is the teaching that was passed down to them.
Mm.
This is how you must treat your parents. There's a story somebody told me that there was this person who used to drive his father out of the house.
Allah.
And one day it was raining. It was raining and he told his father to go sleep outside the house. Allah. Raining and it's cold. Go sleep out of the house.
Mm.
And he is sleeping in the veranda area. Nothing in cold. He didn't have any blankets.
And the son is in the nice comfortable bed.
Yes, and they were inside. So the grandson, He was attached to the grandfather, right?
Mm.
He comes and gives him a blanket. He takes a blanket, tears it in half and gives it to the grandfather.
Mm.
Here you take comfort in
half of the blanket.
So the father is asking, why did you give him half the blanket? He said, no, I'm keeping the other half for you when you go.
Allah,
you grow older.
Allah Akbar. Sooner or later it's going to come around.
That's when he got a wake-up call, you know. What he has been doing, he saw it coming his way.
But also, I can't understand these kind of children. Nah? That the mother, the father, they work so hard in the formative years in rearing those children, feeding them, providing them with food, shelter, you know, and education, sacrificing their own desires for the betterment of their children.
Yeah.
And some of those kids, okay, definitely you're going to have children out there that are wonderful, that look after their parents, care for their parents, and go out of their way to give their parents the due respect. But this is one aspect of it, where a person shamelessly oppresses his mother or father. A person shamelessly usurps the rights, the inheritance of his sibling.
Allah.
That's a form of oppression. You think that you're going to get away with that? That on a day of judgment, there's no accountability, that punishment won't start over here? A person maybe will physically abuse his children because of his own frustrations in his life, will abuse his spouse, his wife, or the other way around. And you know, we see road rage as well. People get out of control, they harm others. What about the criminals there? The job description is crime. So maybe for the time being, they're getting what they want. But for how long? If they don't realize, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them some respite, some time to realize their mistakes. Allahu Akbar. And if they don't, then when they're seized, then it's too late for them. So at least do not fall in the category of being an oppressor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like such a person. And be very fearful of the dua of one who is oppressed. Because the one who is oppressed, that person's dua is readily accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they make dua against you, and yes, we also make dua. Wherever in the world the ummah, the Muslims are suffering, are being oppressed, their lands are being taken away, their homes are being demolished, they are being butchered and slaughtered, our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, our sisters, our innocent children, innocent youth, that, you know, those little babies that are being slaughtered out there, wherever in the world, we make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, that Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, protect the ummah, protect the Muslims, Ya Allah, expose, humiliate and remove the oppressors, Ya Allah. Everything is in the control and power of Allah Azza wa Jal. This we must keep in mind. How long are we going to live here? Maybe another 10 years, 5 years, 2 years, maybe a few more seconds, we don't know. But we're going to return to Allah. Muslims are going to return, and disbelievers, even the oppressors, are going to return to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, and then accountability is there. So focus on that. I'm going to stand in front of everybody, the rest of creation on the day of judgment. What am I going to say? How disgraced am I going to be if I am included amongst the oppressors? Oppressors have come, Fir'auns have come, and they are gone. So what legacy they left behind? The oppressors of today, that's the legacy they're going to leave behind for the people of tomorrow. Yes, that person, this person hurt so many people, destroyed so many people's homes, killed so many children. Allahu Akbar. And I want you to think about your child. If you have a child or grandchildren, nieces, nephews, put them in that place there. If somebody does it to your children, to your offspring, how you'll feel? You make dua, you'll do what your best to speak out against it. So create awareness wherever the Muslims are suffering. The least we can do is create an awareness starting in our households, in our localities. And of course, make dua. Aid them, help them, at least by making dua. Dua is the weapon of a believer. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. So don't give up hope. We are going to return to Allah Azza wa Jal, whatever it is. So never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal is fully aware. And be patient. Be patient and continue striving and persevering in the path of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. On the day of judgment, there will be people who will be paupers, who will be penniless. And there's a beautiful thought-provoking narration with regards to that. Maybe you can share it with us, inshallah.
Yes, people nowadays, when they gobble up people's money and they oppress one another, and they go eat somebody's money unjustly, maybe it was kept as a trust, they ate it all up. And they came to ask for it, what money? They can refuse, plain down on your face, what money are you talking about?
That they don't know anything about.
Yes. Or they steal and eat, they rob people in different ways. Corporate world also, stealing, robbery is prevalent. And we are so fixated, you know, on succeeding. Success to some is only limited to the amount of net worth and the bank balance you have, or the amount of properties, assets you have. But they forget the true success, that it is indeed to be in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being forgiven and given salvation against the torment of hell. That is success. Getting to the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is success. Making sajda in the court of Allah, that is success. So, but we have it all wrong. Like for example, a person will, to achieve that success, that money, that asset, that property, they will step over so many people's heads, trample over their rights. Sometimes the empires are built on dead bodies of people. So what to do with all that success when the end result is, as it is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahaba, do you know who is penniless? The Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, from what we know, penniless is the person who doesn't have money or any assets. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then replied that in my ummah, penniless is the one who will be having salah, who will have many fasts in his account, zakat, and on the day of judgment, he'll have all of this. But he would have abused or slandered someone, swindled someone out of money, killed someone, beaten someone. So from his good deeds, some would be given to the victim, you know, one or the other victim, some will be given to them. And if before the compensation of the rights that he had trampled over, all his good deeds are depleted, the wrongdoings of the victims will be given in his account.
Allahu Akbar.
Of that ruthless person, whoever has done all those wrong to other people. And then he will be thrown into hell. Are we prepared for that kind of end? Are we prepared to taste the torment of hell, the torment that Allah Azza wa Jal would give us on the day of judgment? So if we are guilty of oppressing others or neglecting others' rights or trampling over other people's heads to get to, you know, to step the ladders, the corporate ladder or the business ladder, whatever you may call it. There are fancy names nowadays given to this kind of things. But in the court of Allah, this is disgraceful.
It shows a real character of a person, because, you know, it's actually disgraceful that a person, because out of their ambition to reach the top, then they don't hesitate, you know, in deceiving others, in employing like cruelty, that for them the end justifies the means. The end is, I need to be in this position. So whatever I'm going to do in between, you know, it's a ruthless world, so I need to be ruthless. Some go in with that mentality. Look, if you are violating people's rights to get to the top, it means you are an oppressor. Whatever you can think that, no, if you can even feel in mentally that I'm justified in this, everybody else is doing it. Yes. So if everybody else is an oppressor, you also want to be an oppressor. It means they are heading towards Jahannam. You also want to head in that direction? Then don't complain when your eyes close and then your eyes open to the reality when it's too late. And we see it today, whether in the corporate world, whether in the domestic, you know, in a person's home, in society. And we sometimes, you hear people that, oh, you know, my siblings are not giving me my share. There are so many cases are there, Allahu Akbar. Those siblings, they're enjoying their share, but for whatever reason, they're holding back the share of the sister. Allahu Akbar. And when that punishment is going to come, and you're eating your sibling's share, maybe your brother or your sister, you're eating their share and you're filling your belly with haram, or you're filling your offspring, their bellies with haram, what's going to happen then? Hurting another Muslim is a major sin. Keep that in mind. Whichever way, whether it's, you know, mentally oppressing them, physically harming them, verbally abusing them. Sayyidina Muhammad bin Isa Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions and has narrated from Sayyidina Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that if all those in the skies and on earth would come together in the killing of a Muslim, Allah Azza wa Jal will make them fall headlong into Jahannam. Think about that. Yes, those who are disbelievers, those who are tyrants and oppressors, they've got some goal to achieve. They need to expand their lands and they need to move out of the way innocent people. But their time will come. And hurting one Muslim, hurting the feelings of a Muslim is a major sin. And any major sin has major punishment attached to it. At least you and I don't become that oppressor. That imagine, we heard the thought-provoking hadith, the blessed hadith, on the day of judgment, that person will come with his salahs, with zakat, and you know, so many good deeds. But he would have slandered people, he would have hurt people's feelings. I want you to ask yourself, and we need to ask ourselves as well, that, you know, am I punctual with my salah? But at the same time, I'm hurting the feelings of other Muslims, my Muslim staff, my employees. I just sway them. I treat them, you know, like whichever way I want to. Oh, I just hurt somebody, I hit somebody. Because why? I've got money. I'm a businessman. I'm influential. Who can stop me? Allah Azza wa Jal can stop you. If you fall in that category, yes, sooner or later, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is going to stop you. And the punishment is going to come. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's listen to a short clip and we'll be right back. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sayyiduna Abu Zar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that the Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has stated, your smiling for your brother is also sadaqah. Enjoining means promoting good is also sadaqah. Preventing from evil is also sadaqah. Guiding the missing person is also sadaqah. Helping a weak-sighted person is also sadaqah. The Rasul of Rahmah, the Shafi'i Ummah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has also said, every debt is sadaqah. Dear viewers of Madani channel, when the word sadaqah is mentioned, the act of giving charity crosses one's mind. Charity is also a form of sadaqah indeed. Let's learn the definition of monetary sadaqah. It is stated on page 32 and 33 of the 415-page book Ziyae Sadaqat, published by Maktabatul Madina, the publishing department of Dawat-e-Islami. The literal meaning of sadaqah, atiyatun yuradu bihal mathwabatu lal makramatu, means sadaqah is the gift given to gain reward rather than to enhance respect. Allama Sayyid Sharif Jurjani rahmatullahi ta'ala has defined monetary sadaqah in these words, hiyal atiyatu tabtaghi bihal mathwabata min Allah ta'ala. Sadaqah is the gift given in the hope of earning reward from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, those are different types of sadaqat that one needs to give. And if I do find myself amongst those who are oppressing others, and if Allah Jalla Jalaluhu guides you to realize this, then immediately repent. Make tawbah, turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are listening to this message, then it's still not too late. If you're still alive, it's not too late. Turn back to Allah, repent sincerely, make a firm commitment that, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, I will not commit those sins again. Mention it to Allah. You don't have to go to any Mulana Sahib and say, Mulana Sahib, I did this and I did this. No, this concept of confessions, you confess to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows everything better than us. He knows what's down in the inner recesses of our hearts. So you turn back to Him, and for each sin, for each oppression, whatever it may be, you ask Allah Jalla Jalaluhu to forgive you. And remember, some of that you will need to return to the owners. If you usurped somebody's property, if you took some money or maybe somebody's inheritance, somebody's share, you took it unjustly, then you'll have to return that. You have to repent, ask Allah for forgiveness, ask that person for forgiveness, and return all of those things. So it depends on what the sin is, then the kind of tawbah will be accordingly. Master, we just have a few minutes left. Any concluding remarks with regards to oppression? Maybe some advice on how we can change our conditions?
Look, we all have this desire to be forgiven in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But huququl ibad, it all falls under huququl ibad.
Yes, yes, yes.
And huququllah, we ask, we make tawbah in the court of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all merciful, and we hope from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives us for any shortcomings, for any of His rights that we have violated or we have fell short.
Ji.
And then they are rights of people. Are the rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive until we seek forgiveness of that person whose right we have violated. So we need to be very careful about those rights Because we hear we need the forgiveness of those people and the forgiveness of Allah. So there's a beautiful parable that actually should open our eyes as, you know, something we may regard as minor, or it doesn't really matter, it's something small or insignificant. But if that insignificant violation of someone's right can stand in our way of salvation on the day of judgment,
Allah,
that will be mountainous. And it is mentioned that someone repented for all his previous sins. And then he worshipped for 70 years constantly, in such a way that he would even remain awake for the night nawafil.
Allah.
And he would fast during the day. And would, you know, he would not eat delicious food. He would like really torment his nafs. And he wouldn't even take rest under any shade. Meaning he would go through vigorous, you know, spiritual exercises, so to say. And after his death, someone dreamt of him and they asked him, Ma fa'ala Allahu bika? What did Allah do to you? How has Allah treated you? And then he replied that Allah Azza wa Jal held me accountable for my deeds. And he forgave all my sins, but due to a piece of wood, toothpick, that I had used to pick my teeth without its owner's permission,
Allah,
and could not ask him to forgive my mistake. Therefore, I have been prevented from paradise.
Allahu Akbar.
Just for only for using that toothpick,
Allah,
without
Allah
having permission. And that was regarded in the court of Allah, the violation of somebody's rights. Something so insignificant that we don't even think about.
Well, dear viewers and listeners of Qadri channel, have you seen, have you heard? Just for the toothpick, using it without the owner's property. How many things am I using in my life without the owner's permission and consent? Sayyidina Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi says that many people will die being wealthy with plenty of good deeds, but because of violating human rights, they will lose all their deeds on the day of judgment, and therefore will become poor and needy. So these are questions we have to ask ourselves. Am I one who falls in that category of violating people's rights? Starting in my own household with my spouse, my parents, my children, my neighbors, fellow Muslims, fellow human beings. Do I fall in that category? If yes, then this is the direction I'm heading in. No matter how much of good deeds I'm earning here, I'll lose everything there. So let us wake up. Let us wake up from this negligence and heedlessness. And be careful what we say, how we say it, that we only use the best of words and we uplift each other. We empower each other instead of, you know, just to get to the top, you know, just trampling over each other. This thing of oppression, it is alive. It is around the world. And it needs to be stopped. And each one of us needs to put a stop of that oppression in whichever shape or form it is. We need to put a stop in our lives first. And then create that awareness that Islam is for justice. Islam is for peace and harmony. This is proven throughout history. This is what Islam is for. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, this message of Islam, that live together in peace and harmony. And whatever it is, that remove injustice and oppression from your society. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.